The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
First, let's go to the government restrictions that were introduced overnight.
As well as being Taoiseach, I'm also a father, a husband, a brother, a sports fan, someone who likes a pint with my friends. I know how exhausting, how infuriating, how lonely it has been and still is for so many of our people as we try to manage this. I know the havoc that the virus is causing for some sections of our economy and the hardship that it is causing in particular within our hospitality trade and in our arts and culture community.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin there. We're joined in studio by Martin Hart from the Temple Bar Company and Angela Rutledge of the Woodstock Restaurant in Dublin 7. Martin, to you first. There are 10,000 people employed in tourism in Temple Bar. Describe to me the mindset of restaurant owners, gastropub owners, cafe owners listening to the Taoiseach last night and this morning.
Yeah, and look, Anya, it's the arts industry there as well in terms of cultural centres and galleries and small bookshops and retailers. And, you know, look, they're all brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts. They all enjoy the things that the Taoiseach does, except this morning they don't really have the money to do that. When people say we're all in this together, we're not really. I think there's a disproportionate part of Dublin city centre, the arts, tourism, culture, leisure industries. You know, they're worried about how they pay their mortgage. Christmas is coming up. Some of these people have already had to go and get a six-month break on their home mortgages. Forget about their businesses. That's probably not going to be extended. So you're looking at a winter where you're going, oh God, you know, we enjoy all of those things. We're not all in it together. We're in it alone. And, you know, how are we going to survive? We had 6 months of hell. And are we looking at another 6, 12, 18 months ahead? I don't think people can't cope with that. I mean, yesterday and the day before, when I was talking to you earlier, I mean, people were spontaneously breaking down in tears. Just talking to people who I never would have thought, God, I mean, this is horrendous. Yeah, you know, there are some people who have done very well and they have resources and they can weather this, but that's not everybody. And a vast majority of people are in very difficult. So those 10,000 people, they're the people who work in the restaurants and the cafes and the bars and the hotels. They've lost their jobs. Maybe the funds of the companies that own them haven't, and they have cash reserves. But these are the people that are now struggling mentally. These are people struggling financially, struggling emotionally. And this isn't the first time. This is the second time. You know, at least in the last recession, you knew where you were. You knew what you faced. This seems bleak. And when all hope appears on Tuesday, it's taken away by Thursday, but it was leaked hugely in between. And I think that's probably been the hardest thing. So on Tuesday, you hear on Taoiseach, you know, addressing the nation and saying that arts and culture, sports, these are all hugely important for people's mental, physical and economic health. By Wednesday, we're reading things in the paper to say, well, actually, they may be gone and everyone is confused. By Thursday, people are, you know, losing the will. And by Friday, we're told, actually, you know, all of those things we said on Tuesday, well, they're being put on hold now for another 3 weeks. But don't worry, we're all in it together. We're all the same. We're not.
Does that experience outlined by Martin, does that sound familiar to you this morning, Angela? And what decisions, conversations have you had overnight with your staff?
Absolutely. That growing sense of dread during the week as you read between the lines and you hear the gossip and you know that, unfortunately, you have to believe the gossip these days because it tends to become true. And waking up yesterday morning, I felt very sad for myself and our business and our staff, and spent the afternoon ringing people and laying them off or trying to give them the best support that I could and try and give them the best guess of when we might be able to reopen, and trying to explain to our team, who have been absolutely incredible and the vast majority of whom have chosen, where possible, to come back to work, even though they could have, you know, stayed at home and gotten almost the same amount during the lockdown. They chose to come to work and to do that job. And trying to explain to them the difference between takeaway during a lockdown and doing your best and trying to be adaptable and being a dowdy little restaurant and takeaway now, which just isn't viable because the level of support has been reduced. So the temporary wage subsidy scheme has been replaced by the employment wage subsidy scheme. both absolutely fantastic and a lifeline for our businesses, but one is a lot less than the other. And that's just a fact. And another fact is, we haven't gone, as restaurants and pubs that serve food, we haven't gone from level two, we've gone to level five. So it's not from level two to level three, it's to level five, because operating on the basis of 15 seats maximum outdoors is not viable for restaurants, and particularly with the reduced wage subsidy scheme and in the autumn. It's just, and that's not to blame anybody, but that's just a fact.
I'm sure people listening to you both will feel incredibly sympathetic, but will then point back to the government, the Taoiseach stance, which is that we are here in Dublin in a very dangerous place, and without urgent action, at the moment the incidence in Dublin is twice that of other parts of the country, and that now is the time to continue to prioritise people's lives, the health of the nation, and that drastic action is needed. Are you sympathetic to the government's point of view on that, that they're trying to prioritise, yes, the economy, but health has to come first?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And I don't think, you know, I think no, we're all concerned about our health. We all have relatives who are, you know, in difficult situations. You know, this isn't, oh, the economy versus health. And I don't think it should be that debate. You know, the country's been locked down for 6 months. So what have the HSE and the Department of Health been doing in those 6 months? Surely the first plan that should have been released isn't the you know, the phased plan for how we live with the virus, but some sort of a very detailed medical plan as to how we were going to manage our health service, increase our capacity, you know, deal with a second wave. I mean, that's where the resources and energy should have been. That should have been published maybe a month ago. So that's priority number one, is the health of the nation. But that wasn't the plan that was published. The health plan wasn't published first. It was the plan as to how we live with it. So in a way, that kind of shows you the kind of the communication priority. But secondary to that, I was listening to the WHO speak this morning, and they were saying, you know, lockdowns were given to governments to give them an opportunity to come up with a plan to deal with the virus, to manage the health. And why hasn't that happened? We know that there are ways. And I think, you know, what NPHET and what the government are doing is a very blunt instrument in terms of dealing with this. But there are other ways. I mean, when this pandemic broke out, we spent a lot of time talking to restaurants and bars and operators in Asia, particularly in Hong Kong and Korea, to figure out how we could cope, how we could manage, how we could manage a pandemic. They gave us great advice. We put together a very detailed plan, everything from mandatory mask wearing. So if everyone in Ireland was forced to wear a mask, you know, if the press conference last night was to tell everyone that they had to wear a mask, if 50% of the population wear a mask, it reduces the R number to below one. That's a means of helping reduce the spread of transmission whilst at the same time balancing the economy. Why aren't we using air decontamination units in restaurants? Why aren't we, you know, allowing for and preparing and funding for proper outdoor dining and outdoor performance? That helps mitigate whilst keeping the economy open, whilst driving the number down.
On that, Angela, though, the HSE, the government would say we have put a rigorous system in place. The turnaround time for testing and contact tracing, it's 2.3 days. Swabbing is down to 26 hours. They're up to 76,000 tests as of Thursday. That the tracking and tracing is there. Mm. And as we saw with Philip Nolan yesterday making the argument, you could go out to a restaurant 5 days ago. You have been going about your business all week, meeting your families and friends. But if you contract this virus, you are only being asked about the contacts for the last 48 hours. They do not have the resources or time right now to go back and find out where were people actually getting the virus. And without that data, without that knowledge, we have to minimise then where people meet, i.e. restaurants, cafes, gastropubs. Do you accept that?
I completely accept it. And I understand the logic now that they've explained it to us about where people pick it up. I don't doubt the veracity of Killian de Gascoigne on the Late Late Show last night explaining how it works, or Philip Nolan on Twitter yesterday. You know, I have the utmost respect for the work that the government has put in so far. All I'm concerned with now is, first of all, the immediate lockdown. How am I going to support my staff? How am I going to keep my business going for the sake not only of the staff and myself, but also the producers who supply our business as well, and how that support can get most directly from the, you know, from the coffers into our business and beyond this 3-week period of lockdown, hopefully only for 3 weeks. I'm thinking about the VAT rate and how the VAT rate needs to go down to give, as Martin said earlier on, there is no cash reserve in the hospitality industry. There is no buffer. We're not multinational companies. We don't have that cash reserve. So what is going to give us a little bit of a buffer or protection going forward? And let's remember that before in January, before this ever happened, there were restaurants closing around the country because the model of hospitality just wasn't workable with the costs that are there. So what is the most direct way for to give restaurants a little bit of wiggle room or a little bit of protection to insulate their business is to reduce the VAT rate. And the current figures that are being bandied around are from 13.5% to 9%. And we've been saying that last year and the year before. And I'm saying that doubly now, that the VAT rate needs to come down, not to stimulate demand, but to provide some reserve. So it's different from the last time it went down. It's not about stimulating consumer spending by reducing prices. It's about the quickest and most direct way, in my opinion, to give businesses a little bit of a buffer. And I do feel, while I think now the country has the utmost respect for the hospitality industry and the jobs that are given to frontline workers, you know, in the not the most glamorous jobs. But on the one hand, you know, restaurants are put up on a pedestal and revered as being a cool place to operate. And on the other hand, historically, the legacy has been that they haven't been given the same respect maybe as the multinationals or the big tech companies. I find that really frustrating, but I think now is our opportunity to say this industry is so vital, and that has been recognised and it has been said, but to prove it by reducing the VAT rate for the industry.
And I know Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, has defended not cutting the hospitality VAT rate up until now, saying he's in favour of a more broad and big tax reduction as a more effective way of helping either people spend their money or keep a business going. But Martin, you know, you said earlier the frustration with the leaks, the communication this week. How would you like to see this maybe done in future in terms of that collaboration, cooperation with the industry, so the communications, some solutions start to kind of come through?
Yeah, well, I think firstly, people, I call on the government to work in organisations such as ourselves. We're on the ground. We're living, we have lived experience. You know, while academics and civil servants and public servants do a great job, they're not necessarily living on the ground and in the moment. In this industry, we know the industry and we have creative solutions. Bureaucracies are not creative, and that's a huge problem and has been a barrier in dealing with this. In terms of communications, can all doctors who work with NPHET and Department of Health stop making public statements? And when you pick up your phone in the morning, there isn't three different stories to say that the rate is going to rise by 1,000%, it's going to fall, it's going to burn out, it's not going to burn out, there's going to be a vaccine, there's not. That's confusing people. People listen to doctors. They have a very important role within the community. So, you know, communication needs to be straightforward. Can the government play as a team? We need a team out there acting on behalf of the country, not backstabbing and fighting with each other and apparently trying to trip each other up. I mean, if I was really honest, I'd have the revenue commissioners run the health service. I think is the most effective, you know, in terms of how they dealt with the wage subsidy, a very complex thing. I mean, it was incredible. And they kept businesses, and that wage subsidy has kept businesses in business. It's been incredible. It's probably one of the best measures that was so incredibly well executed and implemented. And I have to say, hats off to the revenue commissioners for what they've done. They've kept people, their businesses at least alive. And I think that requires great. But coming back to solutions, mandatory mask wearing, air decontamination units, eating outside, help people reopen. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Okay, the definition of insanity. Thank you to Martin Harsh from the Temple Bar Company and Angelo Rutledge of the Woodstock Restaurant in Dublin 7. Thank you both.